The golden rule says you should treat others the way you want to be treated. But an unfortunate truth is that idea doesn't account for the driving power of wanting to prove someone wrong or get even. Media moguls Vince McMahon and Ted Turner turned the 90s cable airwaves into an open war zone of professional wrestling with millions of fans. The global superpowers of the 20th century even threw down to be the first to send a man to the moon, just as a flex. There are stories where people crash and burn in perceived mutual hatred, too. Like naturalist Charles Waterton humiliating himself trying to bring down American birding icon James Audubon. But that's the beauty of beef. It's funny, it's dark, it's humanity in a nutshell. And it's a triple gold signal award-winning show from Next Chapter Podcasts. I'm Bridget Todd. Join me as I serve up the juiciest rivalries you've never heard of. Listen to Beef wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, we are back after two special holiday episodes. Fixing Famous People is back doing what we do best, and that is extending our skills and our hearts to help the overprivileged. That is why we are here.
My hands are the overprivileged.
You heard me.
My hands are shaking from going through fixing withdrawals. Like
with the whirlwind of the Fixie Awards at the end of 2023, and then this rambling predictions show that we did last week, with which was basically like 3 hours of us talking shit and 1 minute of predictions.
Yeah.
we've just been caught up, but here we are back. Fixing and 2024 delivering pop culturally right off the bat motherfucking Golden Globe Awards. Look, you could say whatever you want about the Globes, whether they always deliver for like a week after. It's the only thing, whether it's because someone's tit popped out or the host was bad or someone took a shit on Dionne Warwick. I don't know, but it is always something. There's always something with the Globes.
And Dominic, I have to echo something you've said on the show 9 million times.
Yeah.
Hosting is hard.
Oh, it's such a...
Hosting is hard.
It's a skill that people think doesn't actually exist because it's just like you go up there and you just tell a few jokes, but that's not what it is at all. It's not just telling a few jokes. It's about pacing. It's about being a master of ceremonies. And that's just, unfortunately, as we all know, Joe Coy fell a little bit short of what the Golden Globe Awards needed this year.
And most people do, by the way. Like let's think of any time that we're ever like, that show is hosted so well. Very few times.
It's one of my favorites is someone we fixed on this show, and that is James Corden. When he has hosted specifically the Grammys, which is of the big ones, it's probably the easiest to host because you have these dynamic music performances breaking everything up, but he kept it moving and he's hosted the Tony Awards and he's got a couple of personality issues off camera. I mean, he beats waitstaff and all of that other shit. But he's always a great host. And Seacrest, I mean, you know.
Dominic, as I said, he was the anchor in the storm for me in the New Year's Rockin' Eve. Like, why was he not up there? Why was he not up there?
I don't know.
And you know what? It's so sad because it's like the Golden Globes is when they're all like fucked up and drunk.
Right.
Like Mark Ruffalo and Rami Youssef kissed each other when they won an award.
Like that they you saw. Who knows what happened? That's what I'm saying.
They were inhibitions were low and he still was bombing. Am I happy that two apparently straight men can kiss on camera and it not be a news story because homophobia is not as large as it was back in the day? Yes. Am I upset that this is not getting world-renowned coverage that two grown men are kissing that are allegedly straight over in pure glee, like that they just won an award? Yes, I'm upset.
Because so much other shit happened at the Golden Globe that live gay sex isn't moving the needle right now. Are you okay?
I almost spit out my water.
No, but really, it's because it didn't even track for people because there was so much else going on.
The Senate twink could have been their legs akimbo and he would have been, and no one even would have known.
And might have been. Who knows? This is the thing for poor Joe Coy. As I'm so glad you mentioned that hosting is hard because it is truly so much harder than people think it is. But the errors he made, I think, are very specific and identifiable.
And we're going to say the exact same things. That is a
very hard room. It is a bunch of people, each of whom thinks that they are the biggest star in the room. It is like Madonna in Truth or Dare when she's like, industry was in the whole front row, Freddie. This is a whole room of industry who, depending on who you are and what you look like and the tone of the jokes, they will tell you whether or not they are cool enough to make fun of what they do for a living. You know, when Ricky Gervais is doing it, I mean, for lack of a better term, because Ricky Gervais is genuinely edgy and genuinely funny.
No, they like him, but they like him. They want him to roast them.
Feel cool. He's like the Bianca Del Rio of hosts. It's like you want these people to roast you. That's the vibe. Not a lot of people know who Joe Coy is. He is an established comic. It's a very hard room. He did complain, though, in the middle of the monologue. He's like, we only had 10 days. We found out about this gig 10 days ago. I mean, that's plenty of time is the problem. And like 10 days is way, way too much time to even get to that together.
From actors who are like, oh, I had to learn the blocking for this scene, like as we were doing the scene and I did it and I won an Academy Award for it. So like, but you're getting no sympathy from them.
Him throwing the other writers under the bus.
Yeah, that's going to be a no.
That's the biggest.
Yeah, that's bad.
That's the X right there. No. You cannot.
And that's what like an open mic night terrible comic does. That's not someone who has like multiple Netflix specials who's like in a very established comedian that could sell out and like, you know, a huge theater.
And a lot of people today were like reaching out to me like, you should have done it, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's that's wonderful, and I appreciate you saying. Rebecca Bregman's like, your holiday show is a billion times better than the Golden Globes, and I masturbated to that and then moved on with my day. She was also right. But it's a different you don't know how hard it is until you actually have to do stuff like that, because no one's there to see you, really, especially someone like Joe Coy, who's not well-known. They're not there to see the host. But you have to make them want to be there more. You have to make them laugh and you have to make them think like this is going to be a wonderful night. And he just didn't accomplish it. It is a very hard gig. And entertainment industry audiences are notoriously like, they're very, very hard to entertain. That said, and he did make several mistakes. What sucks is that there actually were some funny jokes in there. But once you start bombing, it's very hard to you can't get out them back. Of it.
Yeah.
Like you could find a Fabergé egg in a pile of shit, but all anyone's going to care about is the actual shit.
And the worst thing you can say as a comedian is that was funny. Like that's the number one.
It's like Jeb Bush saying applaud. Please.
Yeah. Please clap.
Like, stop.
Yeah,
please clap. Clap. Yeah. And it was like, no. Because
I have not thought about that in a long time.
I think about it every time I'm asking for applause, either at home or on stage. So I really felt bad because there was a section with Barry Keoghan, I think is how you say his last name. They're talking about him showing his dick in Saltburn and comparing Barry Keoghan's dick to Bradley Cooper's nose prosthetic. Yeah,
which
in
was funny.
It was a funny fucking joke, but it didn't go over well in the room because unfortunately it was in the midst of all these bad jokes that he was telling about Barbie, which was, that's where he really, really missed the mark. And privately, I would blame a writer's room for that because someone should say to him, like, that's not what Barbie was at all. And you shouldn't tell those jokes in this room. Maybe go on Barstool and tell those jokes.
No, but to Margot Robbie's face. You know what I mean? Like,
right? And not only that, but at an organization that has been very, this was the comeback Golden Globes where they were supposed to be like diverse on every single level. Like this should have been the wokest Golden Globes you ever saw.
Yeah, sure.
And in many ways it was, but he shouldn't have talked about Barbie like that. The only other thing I think that was bad for him was this horrific joke he told about Taylor Swift, was actually a funny joke, I thought. And as a comedian who recently told jokes about Taylor Swift and the NFL, again, I think it's just a joke that maybe didn't go over well because the whole thing wasn't going over well. And when I saw Taylor's reaction, I thought she was playing along. Like, I thought it was a hilarious I'm drinking the tea reaction. I don't think she was furious at all.
No, I don't think she was either. And it's not even a mean joke.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's like, you're so famous that everyone's filming you. It's not even a mean joke. And like, of course, her influence is unparalleled. If she farts, it's like international news. So
I think they would give it an award. They'd give it a Globe.
She just existed in the room and like was her non-reaction has become news.
But isn't this hilarious? I didn't know until Saturday afternoon that the Golden Globes were even airing on Sunday, which is blasphemy for someone like me.
No,
or
we
us.
Were
like,
together the day. We were together the day of the Golden Globes, and I was like, Dominic, it's the Golden Globes tonight. Do you remember? And you were like, oh, yeah, you're right. It is.
I'd already forgotten from the day before. And now it's like post-Golden Globes, and it's the only thing we can talk about. I just got an alert from time.com. It was like, here's everything that went wrong with Joe Coy's monologue. Know what, time.com? Gaza, Israel. You stick to that. I don't need Time telling me. That's what we're here for.
No, and
Time
we lived
magazine.
It. Like, we lived
How
it.
How dare you?
We lived it. We saw it. Everyone saw it. Like, we don't need to rehash it with you.
Time magazine needs to stay in its fucking lane. And also, you're too late. Unless you're tweeting this time.com an hour after it happened, you don't get to pick apart a comedian. Pick the person of the year, which
isn't
of course
so
was Taylor Swift. So
well,
I guess, never mind. That just invalidated everything I even said.
Isn't it so funny that like even the most, you know, pretentious, uppity, like you guys are pieces of garbage media is now like, Joe Coy's monologue, blah, 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 blah. Like they could care less. They just want the fucking clicks.
And look, it wasn't good. There were some good moments in it that will be overshadowed. On the whole, it was pretty bad. But people are literally acting like Joe Coy invented COVID. And it's like, you know what?
I know it's
enough. Enough. Yeah. It's been a day. Stop. Leave him alone.
Also, it's the Golden Globes. It wasn't the Oscars. So, like, what did you expect?
These don't even matter. I mean, the Golden Globes, I think all they do is just sort of get you ready for real award shows. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, the rest of the Golden Globes needs to be mentioned because from tip to tail, this was an unclitigated disaster as far as I am concerned.
Unclitigated. I hate you.
Happy New Year, bitch.
An unclitigated disaster. It was okay. I have something to ask you. And you know, please, you've watched more award shows than me. Maybe this is an investigative podcast spinoff that we can do.
Okay.
It drives me absolutely insane that these presenters do the same every presenter. God,
I don't get it.
You know exactly what I'm about to say.
I don't understand that.
They go up, they say, film editing is a thing that is very important. Or like they give one line that like is relevant to the category. And then they pretend to break character and just go. So, you know, like Dominic, like, you know, you have a holiday show. And so, you know, editing, right? Like you're an editor. And it's one is it has never been funny, but like it is so overplayed and they do it award after award after award after award. And it is so unfunny to me. And I need to see, like, I want to know the first time that ever happened.
Isn't it bizarre? I mean, it's so
insane.
It would seem to be the easiest thing to fix is to just have a writer come in there and say, hi, I've watched maybe two award shows and here's what's bad. No one cares about what these present. I mean, and really no one cares about it.
And I
if it's not going to be a comedy bit, a tight comedy bit, don't do it.
No. It's that thing of like, look, it's a celebrity being a real person. And they try it 97% of the time. And the funniest presenters, get ready, were Simu Liu and Issa Rae.
It was fantastic.
They had real lines that they went, this is a joke. Now then she jumps in and goes, I'm going to say a second joke. And then he's going to deliver a third joke on top of that second joke.
They were the
and
best then of
they
the
presented.
Night. They were the best. They were the best.
Try to be themselves and have like funny banter that's breaking from character.
No.
It drives me insane.
I thought, and I, you know, I'm not always a Will Ferrell fan, but I thought Will Ferrell and Kristen Wiig, their ridiculous presentation with the song cutting in, I thought was great. It felt like a breath of fresh air.
Comedy.
Yes.
I mean, nothing will ever, listen to me right now, ever compare to when the two of them went up and they like were like, we saw all the movies, we saw them. And then they're like, Hope Springs. And they're like, remember she rides in on a tractor? And like they just did like a weird improv and then they kept every single time.
Because they're a team. They were deliberately, you wanted them.
Get out of here. And they like did that, brings me to tears still today. And I know every single word of it.
It's really great.
It is the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life. Other than, no, but truly everyone else, it was like,
It was unmitigated and unclitigated.
Disaster.
Unclitigated. I got to figure
out. And that's not even on any of these
that.
People. That is on the writers. Because it's like, you've been doing this for 25 years of this same shtick, and it sucks.
Now, when Andra Day and John Batiste went up there, I also enjoyed them because they seem to be off script and
I
also looking
was real.
At each other.
I think that was real. I think that was really off script. Like,
and I think
real.
They were looking at each other and saying to themselves, we are the best part of the show so far tonight.
Yes. And which was true at the time.
What they wrote for us is absolutely fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Neither of them actors, by the way. Like they are, but like they're both musicians primarily.
Primarily, yes. I believe that the Golden Globes owes Angela Bassett an apology for pairing her with Jared Leto making her undergo and what seemed like a 15-minute bit with Jared Leto. I thought when they were making Angela Bassett do this comedy bit was her as Queen Raimonda in Black Panther. All I could hear was her screaming, have I not given everything? Because hasn't she? Why do you make her the first presenter
and
humiliate the woman with Jared Leto? And it was a funny bit. It would have been a funny 45-second bit, not a bit that started at 8:10 and ended at 11:40. Like, enough.
Was your phone exploding like mine was with people? People were posting it on Instagram, tagging us, saying, how dare they do this to our girl? Like, Joie's ruining this. Like,
right.
It was, my phone was exploding already from just
that. It was as though everyone realized at the same time that the Golden Globes were on, and no one knew what to text during Joe Coy. But once Angela Bassett got out there, they were like, why is this happening? Why are you now trying to kill Angela Bassett? Why are you bringing her down with the Globes?
Oh, I forgot that even happened, but God damn it. Like, how dare they put him near her? The only thing we have left is her, by the way.
Right. Well,
on this planet.
You know, I will say also that I wish that both of them were naked and that I was in between them. I'm not even going to lie about it. Like, that got me through that comedy bit, because I would have sex with Jared Leto or Angela Bassett in front of your family, I might add. But here's the other thing about this room. I'm so angry about this. I don't know why. The staging, whoever set that room up, every person that came up for an award had to play fucking Duck Duck Goose to get up to the stage. What was going on?
Dominic, it was Duck Duck Goose. You are so right. And guess what? This happens every year. We forget.
I felt like this year was egregious.
No, it was especially bad. And guess what? When you fucking know that these people won the fucking awards, put them closer to the stage.
Right. I know you don't want to, you know, they're seated at the Globes by project. Like every, every project gets a table.
But like, when you know that, like, fucking, what's one of the movies that was like, what's the one?
Poor Things, Past Lives.
When you know Past Lives isn't winning anything, like, put them in the
parking lot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like,
by the way, I saw Past Lives on a plane. I felt like I lived eight of them while I was watching this movie. I could not. And you know, I'm an artsy fartsy frou frou bitch when it comes to Oscar films. Like, I will watch and worship and defend anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I heard so much about Past Lives, and no, I could not. I couldn't. But back to these Globes, because you cannot, and this is a television thing. This is an, I love the presenters being in the crowd. I've always loved that sort of look.
Oh, and they have them
like
sideways.
Presenting in the round. You can see people behind them. I love that. But I'm not trying to make an international incident about this, but the reason that the Globes went away for a while was because of underrepresentation of minority groups in. And so for you to come back and you make it very clear that you do not know how to light people of color, it's a big fucking problem. And it's an industry problem as well when it comes to hair and makeup and lighting and shooting people of color. There were moments there where there were black presenters presenting with white presenters, and you had trouble seeing the black presenters. I can't believe I'm even saying that on this podcast.
No, it's bad.
It's absolutely true.
Overall, it was really bad. Like, at points, people were texting me being like, why is the camera so out of focus?
Terrible. Like,
it was bad. And that one camera, when they walked up, you could see that it was a complete robo camera. No one was operating it. So it was all from the control room. And it's just like, no, get someone in there to just fucking turn the thing. And like, blast these people with light. Like, what more could you, do you know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, you don't want to.
You can't blow them out. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, blast them with light forever.
It is when people in the industry talk about the microaggressions that people of color have to go through. This is an actual live example of it. Because if you can see Andra Day, but you cannot see John Batiste, if they're not lit the same in a shot, you've done something wrong. Like, they should have lit that specifically, or if they knew that it wasn't lit properly for people of color, they should have had them all present on the stage and look beautiful like Simu Liu and Issa Rae did. It was just...
But they were still on the stage.
It was a wasted opportunity, and they kept revisiting it. They
turned sideways is what it was. They were still on that stage.
Yeah, it was very weird.
They turned sideways so that they could pan over to that screen that had the like title of whatever the award was.
Right.
And then they would turn forward, and then you would see them like we normally see them.
Right.
They were in the same spot, but then it's like, okay, but then like light for that, when you're going to turn them, you still need to light them.
Yeah.
Like, it's not.
I almost wanted Meryl Streep to hold up her phone and just like light them with that. Like, someone help these people.
Like what we do when we're like, oh, we need more light on our like selfie.
That the thing is like, you're writing a horrible bit for them and you're not even going to light them fucking properly. Yeah. It's like, why don't you just tell them that they don't matter and throw the awards at their faces? Like, why do this at all? It's so ridiculous.
We're the only every listener's like, huh, like no one sees that except for us. But no, it was terribly lit,
very weird. And the thing of the walking up there, like, honestly, just find a bigger place to do it if it's that big of a deal, or invite less people. Don't bring the fans in here. Don't let the Hollywood foreign press come. Don't even do plus ones. Just
have a smaller table. Have the actual table not be as big.
Yeah. Look, they have tables at the SAG Awards and no one's got a problem moving up and down there. You could think of the widest celebrity you can. They're not knocking anyone over coming up and back. Yeah. Can you, it can be done. If you need to still have it at the Beverly Hilton, which that is where it was, right? At the same old place.
Yeah.
They stuffed as many people in there as possible.
As they could.
I mean, because they wanted everyone to attend. And that like was the sardines. First thing I said. Well, when my friend Mark texted me on Saturday, he's like, you know, the Globes are tomorrow. I said, are celebrities going? And not only did celebrities go, I mean, like literally everyone but Beyonce was there last night. Everyone showed up.
Taylor Swift was there.
And nominated for Best Cinematic Blowjob or whatever that new award
Dominic,
was. I couldn't believe it.
How have we been sitting here for 20 minutes and not talked about the fact that they stole your idea
yeah, I know.
You gave to the Academy?
Yep.
You gave the Academy Awards the idea.
I sure did.
When you fixed them.
Did.
And I believe the fourth episode of this podcast that they should do, Best Picture should have the like top five most grossing films.
Mm-hmm. And they did this, that basically.
Rebecca Bregman was doing a Dance of Joy last night because she says everyone's listening to this podcast and that is definitive proof. If
if I can save the Golden Globes, it would be my pleasure. I would like to write and host it next year. I was sort of joking about that at the beginning of the podcast, and I think I'm not kidding about it now. I think let's make this podcast popular enough that I'm the obvious choice to host next year.
Yeah.
But the other thing is too, is when something is massively and very publicly bad like this, people start crawling out of the woodwork to be total idiots about how bad it was. And, you know, people are like, "What? They should have had Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They should have had blah, blah, blah." All right, everyone calm down. All of the people that you wanted to host the Golden Globes were asked to do it, and they all turned it down.
Said no.
All the people, like Joe Coy, admits he was not the first choice. He was like literally the 100th choice to do it. So, but he does get props, by the way, for even doing it because he knew before even doing it, it was fucking thankless.
And he's not a host. Has he ever hosted anything?
I don't know.
Like of this level? No.
Maybe a dinner party. I have no idea.
How dare you? But like truly, like hosting. Okay, so all this to say, hosting is hard. And I wrapped it up with a bow. We can now move on with our lives.
We can, but I have to say one more Globes related thing about what we texted about earlier. This is what I'm leading to about people are saying the stupidest shit. And even celebrities say stupid shit.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
Deidre Hall, who has played Marlena on Days of Our Lives since 1844. Facebooks last night because, of course, she Facebooked it because Friendster wasn't available. She wrote, I'm reading this word for word. The Globes host, Joe Coy, is a complete embarrassment to himself and the Academy. Skip it. Okay. First of all, Dr. Marlena Evans. It's the Golden Globes, not the Globes. I'm sure it was a typo and that you weren't drunk watching at home because you didn't get invited, number one. Number two, the Academy does not run the Golden Globes. An embarrassment to himself. No, I don't know. You know, you are someone who has played Satan on a daytime drama. And you're calling this man an embarrassment. Sit down, Deidre Hall. Let the gay guys talk about pop culture. You just go. And I believe your storyline was also you levitated over a bed and had an exorcism. That's an embarrassment. Don't come for comedians if you're going to do what you do. I rest my case, Your Honor. Like, I'm open for anyone can make fun, but you don't come out of Days of Our Lives and start making fun of a comedian. How dare you? An embarrassment. Okay, Satan.
I want you.
Okay.
And you know that obviously I had never seen the scene where she was Satan and I Googled it and the first thing that popped up was the most insane thing that I have ever seen in my life. And I sent it to all of you immediately and you just all went, yep.
Yeah, we saw it. She's an embarrassment to herself and the Academy.
The 80s and the 90s were really a wild, wild west.
She levitated. It's a famous daytime moment. Like, dear it was God. Where daytime dramas in general jumped the shark because she was possessed by the devil and levitated.
I need you to guess how many episodes of Days of Our Lives she's been in.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that the show's been on for 60 years. She's probably been on it since, at least since I was a kid. So I'm going to get, oh, well, but I read online she was on it for 46 years. So I'm going to say she's been on 5,000 episodes.
5,156 episodes.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh my God.
According to IMDb.
I just, all I did was multiply 46 by 100. And then I was like, let's just pump it up a little bit because she's probably on more than that because she's a lead. Good for you, Deidre Hall. You better get the steady work. Let's see. This lady is, she is 76 years old. Oh, no wonder she gives her opinions to everybody. She's old. That's old people do that. Never mind, Deidre. You MySpace yourself, girl. We'll see you. You're right. He was an embarrassment.
I love Satan.
We love Satan on this podcast. All right. Speaking of God. Satan, we now go in the other direction to God. No, I'm not going to call her Satan. She's an American hero now. You can't say anything bad about her.
An American hero. Go ahead. I'm saluting
Gypsy
her.
Rose Blanchard. Who I believe is...
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
Inevitably going to be Joe Biden's vice presidential pick once the convention rolls around.
Dominic, she has long, like, lasting fame in the palm of her hand right
now. She is it. She is 2024.
But this is a tipping point. What she does with this will, like, change all of our lives or just change her life. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
She has the opportunity right now to become Paris Hilton-level iconic reality star.
Yeah. I mean, I've told my mother I'm getting a little too old to not be famous, so you better watch your step because I'll do what I need to. If this is what it takes to get me on The View, I will bump you off, Barbara.
I mean, it's crazy to have a View performance like that, where Joy Behar is going, "You didn't do anything wrong," and she goes, "No, I did." Like
no one thinks she did anything wrong.
She's like, no, I murdered my mother. Like, she is not at all trying to cover up for that at all or say that it wasn't her fault or her mom deserved it, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, I did something wrong and had to pay for it. However, here I am. And I'm like, fucking titillated.
I don't believe that she actually believes that, but I think she is smart as a whip for saying it publicly. I think she knows and believes her mother deserved it. She doesn't think she did anything wrong, but, you know, she's clearly parlaying this notoriety.
I think she regrets it.
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know the woman, but I do know she killed her mother. So I know that about her personality.
And when my personal queen, Anna Navarro, leaned over and went, "Murder is wrong, Joy." It was like the best shit of my life.
I love Anna Navarro. Truly.
She is unhinged in the absolute best way ever.
But really the biggest story about Gypsy Rose is her telling people.com when people are trolling her husband, she responds with the D is fire. All right, Gypsy. I mean, she's been in a women's prison for 7 years. I would think an inch would be like fire for her after that, but okay, go with it.
She's doing everything right. She's doing everything right. It's beautiful to watch. Not for nothing.
Have we advised her and I forgot about it? Why is she doing so well? No one does this well.
We're gonna fix her. It might not be because she needs fixing, but like, here's how you could become an international sensation forever. Like that kind of fixing.
She should fix us.
We're gonna fix it, but we need to let the dust settle first. But all this to say, when I tell you, I'm mad at us because she's posting where she is in New York City all weekend. Did you or I even decide to like wait outside of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child to hope that she comes out and like
wait,
meet her?
Was all this happening while we were out at dinner last night?
No. This is before. That no, please. Are you Dominic? What am I, an idiot? We're going to eat at the Dave and Buster's in Times Square right next to.
Well, let's not go too far. Dave and Buster's. Do you ever have to walk through there when you're seeing something at the AMC Empire 25 and you have to go out the alternate exit and you walk through Dave and Buster's?
Is it a hellscape?
It makes you want to move to another country. There's absolutely no doubt. It makes you hate the United States.
Oh God.
But I won't even digress.
That even, but all this to say, I like the fact that she was in our backyard and we didn't even try to stalk her is upsetting.
She'll be back. She'll be back and we'll be working for her eventually.
Yeah, no, true. I pray.
The other young woman who's captured America's hearts, of course, is Natalia Grace. And I think most of you know who she is, but she is the woman, well, now woman, but she woman, is the girl.
Because, right. Okay, who, everyone's been saying, like, watch it. She's come out and been like, I'm like 75, right?
No, I believe that the DNA tests have proven that she was a kid at the time she claimed to be a kid.
No.
Yes. Yes, that's what the last one was. Like, now she's only like 19 or 20. And I guess the mother was the villain in this the whole time. This is,
no.
She was adopted by a couple who insisted that she wasn't a child and she was just a dwarf adult pulling a scam. And I believe it turns out now that she was actually a child at the time. They did like either a bone density test they cut her open and counted the rings. I have no fucking idea, but she's not like, based on what they said, she's supposed to be 35 now. And she's like,
yeah.
So, no. And then someone texted me that I should play this father in the TV movie version. And I looked him up and I cut myself after. I looked at him and I said, I have a friend who thinks this is what I look like.
I'm running to watch this now. Cause it's like two seasons in each episode. I've had my mouse over it, hovering over it multiple times and then been like, I can't dive into this like 10 hours of television that I'm going to try to accomplish in one day. But now I'm running to it.
We're going to have to breeze through a couple of things. Big theater news this week. It all came out in like one day last week. Nicole Scherzinger is in fact bringing Pussycat Boulevard to Broadway at the end of this calendar year. I cannot
We're going in tuxedos.
I cannot urge you enough to see it. It was fantastic. She is unhinged. On the same day, like within 30 minutes, we find out that there is talk that Audra McDonald will be assuming the role of Mama Rose in a revival of Gypsy.
That was smelling salt worthy.
This should stop the world from turning. I mean, it's that
Dominic, I will important. Be there night one with bells on.
And
you know,
finally,
I know every single word to Gypsy, right?
You have said that on this podcast before, and each time I tell you, I cannot think of anything you would say that would surprise me less. Than that. I feel like you and I, you are like, I am Mama Rose, and
I could be Louise. I know her whole striptease. I could do it. I do it at karaoke all the
because
time.
Because I'm 20 years older than you. I'm going to be dead when this podcast is finally a hit, and you're going to go on and live the life I always wanted. We literally are that family.
I know we are the two of them. Listen,
and Hassan is Herbie.
Yeah.
Herbie is supposed to be my husband.
Well, I know, but it's regardless.
That's a role yet to be cast. Move on.
Listen, Photoshop us as Mama Rose and Gypsy Rose Lee. There's not going to be, you're a shoo-in for the Fixie this year.
You'll win the 2024 Fixie for Best Photoshop.
Just saying.
But the trilogy of Broadway glory comes with the Christina Aguilera produced musical of Burlesque will be bowing in Manchester, England this June. They have an opening night. I mean, I cannot think of
Dominic,
a better reason to go to Manchester, but we'll fucking be there.
Got my passport ready.
How do you travel with hats? Because you wear a lot of wide-brimmed hats, and I'm curious, are you bringing a hat box on a plane?
Now, I make sure that I have crushable hats. I buy the crushable Stetson hats. Mm-hmm. They are felt. You can roll them up, and they will keep their shape, unless they're like that for days and days and days.
I've never heard of such a thing, honestly.
So that's the key, and I just stuff underwear in the head part of it, and I put it flat in my suitcase and then pack around it.
That's really amazing because I'm looking at pictures of your hats now on your Instagram, they do not look, they look like solidly brimmed
hats. Those Stetsons are only a little over $100, and they are worth every single penny. Wow. And they're way cheaper than the ones that are like the really nice ones that are hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And they have like, they're durable. They're not like, you know, like some of those hats, it's like if you sit on it the wrong way, it's going to break in half.
Right.
And you're ruined. These you could roll, you can truly flatten and put in your backpack and take back out and it'll be fine.
I love that. Because that is your look. If you don't know what Chris looks like, you should know that he wears hats.
There's also a tote bag that now has like a thing on the side for hat. Like I want a hat bag. Like in theory, I want like a hat box, but like, do I really need a hat box? But there's tote bags that have a thing that you can put your hat on the side of it now. And I want one of those.
If someone sits next to me on a plane and they put a hat box underneath their seat when they fall asleep, I kick
go
their
in
hat
it.
Box. No, I kick it.
Are you serious?
I just give it a little kick because it annoys me. I don't know why. It's just okay. Like, why are you bringing one article of clothing that's going to take
a box
on a plane? You just shouldn't do it. FedEx.
No, I know. I'm like, oh, this would be like chic, but like, why would I have this just to put a hat in?
You know what's great? What I should do next time is try to take the hat out of the box and wear it while they're so when they wake up, I'll be wearing the hat. Oh, I'm going to do that.
And you're going to go, what? What are you, sir?
I was sleepwalking and I went in your hat box. Speaking of sleepwalking, this will be the weakest segue of the hour. Speaking of sleepwalking, I wish Jeremy Allen White would sleepwalk into
your bed,
my bed and my butt with those Calvin Klein ads, honey.
Yeah, it was a shot across the bow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And someone that I'm friends with had the nerve to say, but he's short. He's like 5'8". And I looked at her and I was like, he wouldn't fuck you either way. It doesn't really matter on a phone book or not. How dare you insult the diminutive as one of those myself. He is, he looked much hotter in these Calvin Klein ads than he does on The Bear, is what I will
say. Well, I mean, back in the day on Shameless, like he was hot. Like when he was banging like his girlfriends and Shameless, like up against like a refrigerator.
Shameless.
Oh no, he was hot. He was younger, but he was like a little hottie. Like I've known that this person exists in him. And so
he's delivered.
I'm glad that he's back because he looks great.
The Jeffrey Epstein docs. I mean, this is a story that changes every day. So maybe by the time this airs, who the Pope's name will be in there. I have no idea, but as of us recording it, it appears as though there are tapes of Donald Trump and Bill Clinton having sex with people. I don't know. I feel like if those tapes existed, someone would have published them already.
No, and like show them to us. Like, I'm done with all this. Like, remember when everyone was like, when the lists come out, like everyone's going to be fucked. And then they came out and like nothing happened. Like,
no, the only way we got
charges against.
No. The only way we got fucked was with the Golden Globes this week. Still nothing from Epstein. Still nothing.
And prosecute these people. If something happened, like
do it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Like, I'm not here to be like, no, it didn't happen. Like, I'm sure shit happened, but like let's go. Come on.
Because now all the news stories are like, oh, Epstein's assistant says this is the one that's going to rock the world. It's like, you can
that
only
was four
say that
lists
so
ago.
Many times. Right.
And didn't we know everyone that I was like, oh, like we knew every person.
Right.
Like we knew Naomi Campbell was on the plane.
This
like,
couldn't
everyone
be.
Knew that.
It couldn't be more American, this story. It's like this man is accused of raping hundreds of women. He kills himself and one woman goes to jail. So that's how that's the most American story you could possibly come up with.
Why isn't she doing like a Gypsy Rose situation?
I think she's afraid that people are going to kill her family.
Literally
she's
kill
got
her.
To be yeah. like, he's dead, girl. Say everything and get out of jail. Maybe
why
they're
is,
not offering it to her. I don't know.
Why not? Because
maybe
just
she likes jail. You know what? There's a lot less pressure in jail when you're. I mean, you know, you have to like stay warm and all that shit. But God, with nothing on your to do list except like bounce a basketball around and eat some McRib or whatever you do in jail, seems kind of nice to be honest.
I wish I had a McRib.
I'd like to get instead of going to vacation next time. I'm going to go to jail just for a week, so I need to think of nothing. I want everything planned for me. It's fantastic. Yeah.
No, I think she's like terrified for her safety is what I really think.
And her family. I think someone probably said, if you open your mouth, we'll kill your family. It's got to be the only reason.
Yeah.
Speaking of fucked up families, the Britney Spearses of Louisiana, we're just hearing reports of many people are writing songs.
Okay, whoa. We don't just speak about her without her introduction.
I'm so sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
Britney Watch.
Oh, baby, baby. Hi, y'all. I don't believe I forgot to do it. I'm not even stoned today. A lot of people, a lot of well-known people are writing and delivering songs to Britney Spears, and she is still claiming she is done with the music industry.
Well, when it said Charlie XCX was going to be writing music for her, I'm surprised Hassan is still alive. Because when that broke, I thought that would be what took him out, honestly, like of just pure joy.
Mm.
And she came on Instagram and was like, don't believe one thing that you read about me making music. I will never make music again.
I don't know. Everyone's got a price.
I don't think she has any desire. I don't think that she, and now you're really going to like wreck me for it. I don't think that she has the like relationship to her fame that like most other pop stars do.
I'll agree with that.
Like she is performing for her equals her dad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I guess she's said in the book, and by she, I mean the three people that wrote it for her.
The three people that wrote it for her
have really framed it as though her career in and of itself was a hostage situation. So maybe it is just one book, but I've heard things online that people really want that second book out because she's still got shit to say.
You're the only, again, I say it every time you bring it up. You're the only person I hear being like, the second book, like all of us Britney heads are like, not even
Brit heads.
We don't even know anything about. We're like, what book?
All right. Well, we'll see. Maybe after her dad dies, because he's already like legless and can't breathe and all sorts of other nonsense. Karma took care of him. I mean, in real time, you're seeing him pay the price for what he did to his daughter. I'm not saying you're supposed to be happy about it, but you know, Gypsy Blanchard's mother, you know, James Spears or whatever the fuck his name. I mean, you know, these are people that are paying for their mistakes in the digital age.
Yeah. Well,
speaking of people paying for their mistakes. Oh, Justin, we've waited a full year to bring your shaggy ass on this show, and now the time is.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Come.
All right, you know her, you love her. Erin Bagwell is back.
Royalty. FFT royalty.
Yeah, a whole category at the Fixie Awards presented by her.
I was so delighted to find out that I was presenting, and it felt right while I was listening.
One of our first guests as well.
And next year you will be literally presenting the award.
I'm picking out my gown.
Yeah.
As we speak, I like to really plan ahead. I'm a planner, so I'll be there. I'll be stomping the Zoom carpet or whatever.
The Zoom carpet.
So excited when Chris said you were coming back, particularly to fix someone so well-known, so incendiary, so needlessly polarizing as Justin Bieber. I'm so excited about the next few minutes. I don't know what to say. I'm plotting. It's fantastic.
I know. I'm a little nervous. I'm coming in as like the problematic man apologist.
Ooh, interesting.
But here I am. You know, I'm ready to stand in my truth.
Speaking of that,
two old women host this podcast. So yeah. You would be the most masculine one here.
Speaking of that,
happy to do it.
I need you to take a sip of your Paloma. I need you to smell your clitorally candle that you are burning, that you showed us you are, God, that is lit. Yeah.
Did not know where that was going. When you said smell and then formed the C word, I was like, what is Chris doing?
And then I need you to tell the listeners about when you met Tom Sandoval at BravoCon. I was too tired to go out after
Chris,
this.
I can't believe you weren't there for it all.
Aaron, I would have ruined it. We were in Las Vegas for BravoCon. I would have ruined it. Because I would have said, hi, I'm Chris. I'm the supervising producer of Real Housewives in New Jersey. Nice to meet you.
That's fine. Like, I said nothing to him.
Okay. So anyway, I go home because I'm too tired after
dinner. We go to dinner.
We're all at dinner. You're wearing a bathing suit.
I cannot pack properly, so I didn't have enough going out tops for Vegas. So I decided my bathing suit could maybe pass as like a bodysuit.
Which it did.
So, okay.
So I'm wearing a bathing suit and like a kimono with my jeans.
Okay. Hang on. I need to set the stage further. This is a one piece or a two piece? Like a bikini?
A one piece.
No, a string bikini top. This isn't okay. Selling sunset. It's
why a one piece? Is this, are we like a 1920s bathing suit with a matching doily type
this
hat?
This is like a deep, deep plunge. Oh, like okay. We're giving a lot of breasts.
We're there.
My mother had to crop out my chest in all the photos she sent our family of me with the celebrity.
What color is it?
Black.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So just like a classic black, you know.
Yeah. So, but at the restaurant, it said like no swimwear, like at the restaurant.
Oh, Jesus
so Aaron
Christ.
Was
what
like,
kind of restaurant has to post a sign like that?
Well, we
it
were
was
in Las
a
Vegas.
Fancy steakhouse.
We were in Las Vegas.
It was fancy. It was like our nicest restaurant. And yeah. I was like, I'm not wearing a bathing suit.
And so Aaron walked in and goes, I'm not wearing a bathing suit. And that became like our inside joke. And we would like die laughing at. Anyway, she's in a bathing suit. She leaves the restaurant. I go home to go to sleep.
So a group of us said, should we go to the restaurant where we think like the B-list celebs are? Not the Housewives, but like your Scandivals, your Southern Charms, you know, your Yachties.
Right.
And so we drive to that hotel. We get out of the taxi. I am opening the doors of the taxi and I lock eyes with Tom Schwartz. Okay, not Sandoval, Schwartz. Now, I turn around because I can't face him. I'm having a conniption.
Well, sure.
And then the gals surround me and I say, he's here. Schwartz is here. He's here. And I'm just like, I'm in the Schwartz of it all. And then somebody says, Aaron, he's standing next to Tom. And Sandoval was with him. So then I'm like, I've left, my body has left my soul. I mean, the whole thing, I'm just really going through it. And God love them, the gals we were with really engaged for me because I was not physically
ready.
Able to banter or talk or, you know, I've never been so starstruck in my life. And I really could have collapsed on the floor at that moment.
And you've met Oprah.
I can't believe you even remember most of it, to be honest with you.
Like you have touched Oprah's body. And this is what's happening. Okay.
I would have blacked out several minutes in like ago in the story. Like, I think I would have passed out at Schwartz, to be honest.
Schwartz and I only mentioned my breasts earlier because Schwartz and I made an electrical connection. And I felt like, wow, am
I needed to pause it for a moment.
Look.
I was like, what?
Dominic was stunned by that sentence.
So I'm like, have I put my money on the wrong Tom? And that's something that I have to sit with every day and that I'm working through. And, you know, I'm talking to my therapist about because I feel like maybe I'm a Schwartz girl. What do I know?
I mean, he takes more shit than he should is what I'll say about Mr. Schwartz.
Moving along. So you're talking to Schwartz.
I'm talking to Schwartz. I'm talking to Sandoval. I tell Sandoval I love him, and he thinks I'm joking. Like, he thinks I'm, you know, doing a bit or, like, making fun of him. So he's a bit crass. He's a bit standoffish, which is, you know, fine. Fair enough. Fair is fair. So really, that's it. They went to a cocktail bar. We got our pictures. Schwartz was lovely. He wanted to, like, move in with all of us. He's like, take me away. Let's start a new life. I mean, he was very charming.
Wait, and didn't you say, I'm not wearing a bathing suit? And you went, what?
I did tell. He goes, I love your kimono. And I said, I'm not wearing a bathing suit.
Oh my God. Is that part of it true? Yes.
I swear to God, Dom. I am just, my brain is my tongue. I'm like, she didn't know what
to
say.
Like, she had to like go to a joke because she was like,
if you're not at a beach, what kind of restaurant says no swimwear? Were you at the Lost City of Atlantis?
It was Las Vegas, Dominic. You can just walk in from whatever fucking pool you're at to go to a casino to then go to this restaurant that was next to a fucking Chris Angel Mind Freak Theater. Like, that's where we're at.
Listen, I have to say something before I forget, because in our intro, we talked about the Golden Globes and we did leave something out. And you just reminded me that Oprah Winfrey rolls up in here and she's like the size of, she's like from Lilliput at this point. Like, Oprah Winfrey now looks like Kuvenjine Wallace. And I can't, I'm confused. It was like a child was presenting Best Picture. She's 69 years old. She's not just on Ozempic. There are dwarves in her wig holding it all back. I don't know what's happening there. Obviously, she's the richest lady in the world. She should look like this, but I found it unsettling. I felt like it was time machine material. Like she was,
yeah, like she's mastered time travel. And
do you
just
feel like she's
right? Like
good,
Walt Disney's Frozen, like Walt Disney's Frozen head is in her closet and she's advancing that technology and she's never going to die. She's just going to run for office. Go ahead, Erin. I'm sorry.
Dom, do you think she looked good as this, you know, mystical?
I do. Think, no, I don't know why I'm
great.
So unsettled, but she looked too great. You know
she
what I mean?
Good.
Like,
okay.
It went beyond what someone is her age, is what someone her age
should
is
look
supposed
like.
To
yeah.
do. Like, it just went. She
I
looked
mean, if any, but you're right, though. If anybody should look that good, it's Oprah and Cher.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, I was unsettled by it. God bless her, but I'm still, I was unsettled.
We're reeling. We're reeling. Much like, Erin, much like you were reeling when you met the Toms, he's reeling right now about Oprah. Continue.
I'm still not recovered, so.
What? Yeah. So then they leave them, and Erin calls me, and it's like, what, 10 o'clock? Like, it's not that
early
long
bird.
After.
Yeah.
Like, but I'm like laying in bed, and then I get a phone call, and I'm like, oh no, like something has happened. Like, I'm scared. So I answer the phone, and I'm like, hello? And she tells me this whole story, and I'm like, what? What? Like screaming out loud.
I can't believe you didn't just throw on like a nightshirt and run down.
But it was already over. It was already over. It was already
over.
I know,
but then I hate to tell you, Chris, the night wasn't over and I met many more celebs and I partied hard with the Southern Charm cast and we're all best friends and I was buying drinks. I felt like I was dropped into an episode. We were doing shots. It was outrageous.
And then I remember saying to you on the phone, I said, and you went, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. And I went, and I was like, oh my God, I thought you guys like had gotten into an accident or something. And that, like, I thought I had to come get you. I'm glad that you're okay. And you go, no, I'm not okay.
And never will be.
Oh God.
We have to get to the topic at hand.
I know. I'm sorry.
This was hour 7 of the show and we still haven't fixed anyone.
that story needed to be told.
I feel
I'm
healed
so sorry.
From this. Yeah. So thank you for the space to share.
No, we've been wanting for you to tell this story on the air for a long time. And I'm thrilled you're here for a million reasons, but chiefly that I wish that you had ridden his mustache, but I still have in my dreams and that's all there is to it.
Well, he lost the mustache for BravoCon.
I saw that. Still a fan.
Yeah.
Still a fan.
Gorgeous. Both of them. Stunning. Little angels.
And right after that happened, she was like, guys, I think I like him again. Like it turned so quick. Like sure. She was like, guys, I see it. I'm sorry. Like she's back on the sauce.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we've got to get to this week's.
Okay. We're moving on. We're moving
this
on.
This week's client. His name is Justin Bieber.
What's his middle name?
As we are starting off for the first time in 2024, as you both know, Chris and our guest this week, Dame Erin Bagwell, will have to guess the middle name of our fixie, Justin Bieber. And as a surprise to Chris, which he doesn't even know, I'm introducing a new feature this year.
Uh-oh.
For season 2.
Multiple choice?
Before you guess what the middle name is, I'm going to tell you what it should have been. And so Justin Bieber's middle name should be, and I think we all know this, Lorraine. It should obviously be Justin Lorraine Bieber. It is not Lorraine. Chris, Erin, please submit your guesses for Justin Bieber's middle name.
Okay, was Lorraine a hint or was that just a joke?
Lorraine was not a hint at all. I think that Justin Bieber himself looks like he should be named Lorraine,
named
which
Lorraine.
Is why I want that to be the middle name.
I think it's not James, but it's like in the James family. It is.
It is just, not elaborate at all. It is just.
That's what I'm saying. It's a normal, regular, degular name.
Yep.
Regular,
to quote Leanna Inzerillo, regular, degular name.
It is one syllable.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, let's have
Justin Scott Bieber.
Erin, do you have any guesses?
I know what it is.
Oh, I love when you guys are honest about it.
I'm so sorry. If I had to guess, I would have said Paul.
I
would have said Paul if I guessed.
I would have just guessed and lied about it. Justin Drew Bieber.
God damn it. I was
Drew
so close.
Doesn't make any sense, though. No. That doesn't
especially
feel,
since
it
it's
must
not
be family
Andrew.
Name.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Drew, I thought, was already... a shortened name, like a Drew, is like a first name for someone whose actual name is Andrew. It's sort of a nickname. I don't know. It's a little bit weird. Well, in keeping with Justin Bieber, who is just a man of so many mysteries and complexities, and I did say a man, which I still think is weird because he's like 11 to me, and I think always will be.
When my daughter and I played Baby Baby, she was like, play that girl song. And I was like, oh, he's a boy. And then she was
definition.
Like, no, mom. And I was like, well, you know, whatever they are, you know, and then I'm trying to like, you know, millennial parent that situation out of it. But yeah. You know, there's a lot of feminine energy from JB.
I'm going to say something positive about this mofo to lead off. You know, he's a child star. And is now fixing to be, and this is how old you are, America, on March 1st of this year, Justin Lorraine Bieber is going to be 30 years old, 30. That's how old you are.
So wait, Justin Bieber and our podcast have the same birthday. Is that what you were telling me right now?
God.
Our podcast launched on March 1st.
Wow.
We launched on Justin Drew Lorraine Bieber's 29th birthday.
Wow.
I will say this. He's already old enough that he should have fallen victim to the child star curse. And he has not. Like, he's done some very fucked up things, but he is still alive. He is still a person who can sell tickets.
That's better than most.
If you want to use the word musician in quotes, he's also one of those. He's married and it seems to be sort of stable. So there's no sort of Skid Row Different Strokes moment happening with this child star. Like, he seems to be an adult, and I don't think I'm wrong, but his last CD, are we calling them albums? What do I call music? A music bag was, in 2020 and it went to number one
playlist
right away. You know, it's just,
no, You said 2020.
I said 2020. Yeah, which I thought was when that duet came out with Ariana. No?
No, 2021, he had a whole album.
And Peaches and Stay. Oh, that's all from 2021?
Yeah. I mean, well, who cares? But sure. but yes.
Oh, he's very tattooed.
Yes. Well, that's okay. So before we get to the tattoos, let's go. So we all know the story. I mean, it's not, this isn't fucking Ellen DeGeneres, where we're throwing back to like the early 90s. He is discovered by Usher on YouTube. He has an album. It's okay. He then does a song, Baby Baby, with Ludacris, that then explodes all over the world. And he becomes an absolute international celebrity at like what? How old? Probably
like 10 or 11, wasn't he?
Like very young. He was 16 during Baby Baby.
Okay. So I'm looking at these photos of him. I mean, really, as a child, he truly, and I mean nothing by this, he just looks like a cast member on The L Word. He really does. Like, he could have been any one of those women.
Well, to be fair, we really favored that little swoop haircut. There was a lot of emo energy, and that was sexy. You know, we wanted our boys and girls' jeans and, you know, in that little swoopy side part.
But now, as a 29-year-old adult, I'm looking at tour pictures of him shirtless from 2022, and it is truly serving Vanilla Ice, like from tip to tail.
Wow.
The backwards hat, like, it's all of that. It's all of that, which might be his future, actually. I don't know.
As an exterminator?
Is that what the Mr. Van Winkle's doing now?
I think so.
Squashing, he was like flipping houses.
He's got like a funny like a Discovery show where he does bug stuff or something.
Oh, bless him. I mean, we all got to make money.
He's still on TV. I can say that much. You know?
Yeah, good for him.
But so Justin explodes. He's a child. He becomes a humongous celebrity. He then has he has like multiple albums, Never Say Never. He has a concert movie. His fans become the Beliebers, which is a great name for a fan.
It is a great one.
Great one. And then we, you know, all of like millennial aged people and up are like bracing for when he's going to like try to be sexy.
Right.
Because we know it's coming. Mm. And as that starts to happen, he starts to like get in fights with people, punch the paparazzi, spit on his fans.
Pee in a mop bucket.
Yeah. Pee in a mop bucket.
Destroy like, Selena Gomez.
Yeah, I'm holding that back until later. But like you know, being that like rambunctious celebrity that then becomes like, oh, I'm gonna get in a fight. That Shia LaBeouf / Colin Farrell, one of those I love, one of those I hate. Like person that's like, I'm gonna get in a fight. Yeah,
yeah.
Like he like got in a fight with his neighbor. He like hit a paparazzo that was trying to take a picture of him with his car. Like a lot of bad shit, and kind of was just acting out because when he was a child, he was a celebrity performing. Right. And now he's like, I'm going to have delayed children. You know, I'm having arrested development. I'm going to be a 16-year-old now that I'm like really successful and pee in a mop bucket because it's funny. And like, I don't know. It was bad.
I mean, those are kid things. I mean, he was a kid doing kid things.
Yeah, I know. Who amongst us?
But yeah. What I will say is that when I was going through his music, I'm like,
that is a level of research I would not undertake.
Well, I was thinking, podcast. I was like, what is his like first song? I was like going back and like looking at like what has a lot of streams and what doesn't. He doesn't even really have that many popular songs. Like he has a lot of songs that we know, but it's not like a Madonna, Britney Spears, like Lady Gaga, like
there's there's no Eras tour with Justin Bieber.
No, he has like maybe 10 songs that have become like singles that have done really well. Like he doesn't have as much music as we would think he would for how much reporting has been done on him in the last two decades.
And a lot of his recent work is in conjunction with someone. It's not just like it's like with Kid Laroi or with Ariana. Yeah. Like there's definitely isolated ones. Like, what's that one? Did he release a song called Peaches?
Yeah.
Was it about butts?
Peaches down in Georgia. Bah, bah, bah.
It was about butts.
Bah, 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 bah. I don't know. But yeah, it was like on the radio. He has good music.
Yeah. He did that one good album.
I don't know. It sounds like Roomba is singing most of his stuff to me at this point. I wouldn't describe him as a vocalist. He's an entertainer. You know what I mean? He's just he's a celebrity.
No, he's not a vocalist.
Seen
he's not
that
a vocalist.
Show, The Other Two.
Yes.
That's about him, right? Is it
it's
about
like,
him?
A parody of like that idea that like someone becomes like basically their little brother becomes Chase Dreams, which is like a little Justin Bieber type.
It's like very not so loosely based on Justin Bieber, the way that the movie Tar is not so loosely based on Chris DeRosa.
Actually. How dare you?
He's Lydia Tar.
But I am Lydia. I wish I was Lydia Tar.
You are Lydia Tar.
I know. No, I can't even. What was I even saying? Oh,
because you're masturbating. Because you're masturbating because I said you were Lydia Tar.
I'm sorry. I brought up the TV show, which isn't relevant whatsoever, but it's interesting the idea of being famous so young. Like I feel like my heart is a little heavy for him in that sense because it's like, you know, I mean,
oh no, all the things he does that are these bad things is like a kid acting out that like you would have done when you were 17 years old, but you, Justin Bieber, were in a stadium tour at 17 years old, so you never did that.
Yeah, like I feel like we've gotten really lucky, Chris, as like this like the generation that comes after us, like everything is documented. Like we got away with a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like I didn't enjoy
Facebook
until I got away
with a lot.
I was like 20-ish. Do you know what I mean? Like not all my like debauchery is online. Like that's tough.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to contend with like my own record.
No.
I'm of that generation that bores cocktail parties to a standstill by saying, if we had cell phones when I was a kid, I would be dead. I'd be in jail. You have no idea. Yeah, you invented fun. That's it. That's the generation I'm from, where I pretend we invented drugs. I mean, we kind of did.
Someone had to do it.
You know what?
And there were.
Thank you for paving the way, Dom.
You're welcome. Yeah. I crawled literally so you could walk.
Literally.
So I could wear a bathing suit.
There were two things that stick out in my mind of like when he was acting up that I remember and being like, ooh, this is really bad. This isn't just I'm fighting a paparazzi, which is like what every fucking celebrity does. One was when he went to the Great Wall of China and he had his bodyguards like put him on their shoulders and like walk him up the steps of the Great Wall of China.
Wow.
Do you remember this?
Yes. Yep.
That was bad. Wow. And that was when people were like, okay, this is getting out of hand because like now this is like, now he's being a little, you know what I mean? Like this is no longer like the paparazzi are harassing me and so I'm going to fight them. It's now like you're like treating your bodyguards like, servants. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's bad. The second is when he went to Anne Frank's house in Amsterdam. Do we remember this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I do.
And
oh,
he wrote in the book, like, Anne was a cool girl. I bet she would have been a believer.
No!
Wait, no, let me get the real quote. Hold on. This is from telltalesonline.com.
Wow.
He said, truly inspiring to be able to come here. Anne was a great girl. Hopefully she would have been a believer.
Wow.
Which, the plug, by the way, for himself. But
I mean, the hustle is always happening. It's always, ABC, if you're going to hustle, you ABC, have to always be hustling.
Always be closing. But, however, I don't need to explain how terrible that was.
Yep.
What about when he, like, had that huge meltdown on stage and like went into a fetal position? Do we know what I'm talking about?
I forgot, Aaron.
Remember? So this is why my heart hurts a little bit for him, because he was like having a public meltdown or a private meltdown very publicly.
Yeah.
Do you recall?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And they were, him and Miley Cyrus were two people where people would, they would go on like Z100 or whatever. You know what I mean? They'd go on like Kiss FM or all the big shows like that. After they would leave, there'd be all these reports of like, they were so sick. Like the star, Justin or Miley were like, so they had the flu so bad, but they popped them up on a Z-Pack like to the hilt and made them just go do press. Like it was, there was a lot of that I remember coming out of him being like, I feel like shit, but my team has put me on like 97 steroids to like keep me awake so that I can go do press for like 2 days. And I like, and no wonder I feel like shit because I've been awake for 48 hours.
Oh, that's hard.
And then peeing in mop, not using a toilet when I'm not, you know, on a mic on a radio show. I'm like pissing in the corner somewhere.
Well, being sleep deprived can make you do crazy things.
And I got to see something because this has always bothered me. And I think once every couple of years, I try to look and see how old Justin Bieber's dad is. Yes, he's younger than me. I'm going to cut myself. So, goodbye.
Dominic.
No, Jeremy Bieber is 48 years old and never saw a beanie that he didn't want to appropriate for an older audience. He just loves it. And I say this as someone who also frequently beanies himself.
But I think in your defense, Dom, I do believe Justin's mother was quite young.
Probably. I'm sure they were both
quite young.
Wait, remember I'm just getting eyes on the dad. I've never gotten eyes on the dad before. Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah, he's a real D bag. Like a full like tip to tail bag of D.
Yeah, and he's ready for Jersey Shore is what he's ready for.
100%. Remember when the dick pics leaked and his dad like commented on Instagram and was like, that's my boy, or something like, how do you tame that monster? He said something along those lines.
Dominic, that's horrifying.
I swear
as
to
a
God,
father should stand by his son.
I can't believe I'm Googling this. There's Justin penis. All right. Ew.
I didn't
Justin
know that
Bieber's
Justin
dad
had a penis nip slip.
Oh my goodness! Just Google Justin Bieber dick pics.
And I shall
on
not.
More than one occasion. In 2015, this happened, and the
How
dick
did
pics
it
leaked.
Get out?
The dick pics leaked, and Jeremy Bieber issued a tweet that said, "What do you feed that thing?" # proud daddy.
Ah, I'm gonna throw up.
So it's almost like makes me want to fix Justin Bieber more, because if that's your dad, it's like, okay, so you started off on the wrong foot.
I mean,
wowie wee wow, as Chris says.
Yeah, that's bad. That's pretty bad.
That's not good.
Okay, so he goes through all of those trials and tribulations, and then he comes back with that album called, what is it called? Purpose. So he comes out with that Purpose album, and I gorgeous do remember album. When he like first performed it, and he did, I think it was Sorry, and then Where Are You Now? Yeah. Yeah, Where Are You Now? And that was, I remember the performance like being good and being like, oh, he could parlay this into like a more of a music career. Like he could still do this. Like he can be, make like adult music.
Yes.
Does he sing Baby in concert still? And if so, how? Like, does he have baby?
I don't know. I don't know. Does he? I would want him to. I want him to sing it. And remember, wait, we glossed over. Remember Girlfriend? When he would go, swag. Swag, swag, swag.
I honestly don't.
I don't either. If
you were my girlfriend, I never let you go.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? That was a better clip.
I like to be anything you want. That song. And it was so cringy, but like, well, you know that Sorry is like my warm-up song at karaoke.
No, I didn't.
I have karaoke'd with you, and I am pleased that you didn't sing it that night.
That's like what I put on when it's like, oh, we all just got in the room and we have to like go through the leaflet to like figure out what songs
I did not know. Like, I love that you
I put on Sorry, and I just sing Sorry because it's just like an easy song.
Yeah. And everyone likes it.
Before we fix this little bastard, should we talk about his love life? Because that's, you know, he's just, that's as much of his celebrity, if not more, than his quote unquote music.
Well, I will say, just to leave, but as we're exiting the music career, I will say, Love Yourself was named the top song of the year that it came out. I don't remember what year that was, but I remember during Christmas being in the car listening to the radio, and they were like, this is the number one song of whatever year. The one that's like about Selena Gomez, where he's like writing to her to be like, you should just go have a good life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You should go and love yourself. That one.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
That is where we get to. Yeah. The two of them skyrocketed into fame because Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez dated for a long time while they were like tweens, and she was on Disney Channel and he was like touring the world, being a musician. And I don't think either of them would have been as famous today if they did not date.
I think that's fair. I do think it's fair. Yeah, I think they were definitely.
It was giving very Justin Britney.
Yeah. It really was.
Yeah.
And they dated for a long time. Then they broke up. The Beliebers and the Selena Gomez heads, including myself, were like devastated, period.
But also turned on Selena Gomez as well. Yeah. Like, you know, they stuck with Justin and they were just like, it must be her fault. America Hates Women. They definitely hated Selena Gomez. I mean, the fourth or fifth episode of this podcast, we fixed Hailey Bieber a year before fixing Justin.
Her husband.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
I think that marrying Hailey is like, was the best thing he ever did far as his
for
career.
Him. Yes. Yes. Both, I do think
both,
so as well.
Publicly and personally.
She becomes a humongous celebrity overnight because she's dating him and like is his wife. He doesn't have to be a musician anymore to be famous. He can now just be a musician, quote unquote, but the husband of his wife that's now eclipsed him in fame, in my opinion. Hot take, but
I don't co-sign that, but I think she's pretty close. I think she could actually.
But now
I think she's one good cosmetics campaign from overshadowing her husband. I'll say that.
Completely
how's that for
agree.
Hating women, Aaron? No, yeah, I do. I really do think. I think she's
she
one.
Get there.
She's one publicity stunt away from being more famous than he is.
Yeah.
And now all of their press is like them together as a family.
Yeah, I will say I spent the afternoon watching their TikTok clips, and they're very cute together. Although you can kind of see like a little bit of edge on Justin, like a little. There's just a little bit there. And then she's just kind of like this light, bright little fairy that kind of, it's very interesting, their dynamic. It's fun to watch. Huh.
So he beats her is basically where we're going with this.
Not
No, but I think he sees that her star's climbing and his is not.
Oh, wow. That's where you think we're
I think that's what it is. And not for nothing,
I don't need to fight with my ex-girlfriends. You're fighting with them on the internet. Yeah. So just have at it. Like you and your fans and Selena's fans.
Why did Selena and Justin break up?
Unclear.
I don't recall. Unclear. Okay.
I don't know why. I could take some guesses. They'd all be very insulting, but
I don't think anyone knows. I don't think they've ever been public about it. Okay. Like I don't, it's not. Yeah, because that was a big thing. Is like, why did they break up? And then people think that he cheated on her with Hailey Bieber.
Well, I think they did get together pretty close, right?
I think there was an overlap. People think there was an overlap. What I think it was.
This is giving. I hate to bring it back. This is giving very Scandoval.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
Got a new girl in town.
Aaron, what else did you like discover when you in your research, in your Lana Del research?
You know, he's talking a lot about mental health, which I love.
Okay.
You know, props to that. We love a mental health advocate. A little bit, a lot about Jesus.
Okay. Guys. Yeah. How did we skip over the fact that he was going to the Hillsong Church? Yeah. God damn it. How dare us, honestly.
I will say, though, I feel like at this point I think the reason it didn't come up right away is because I think he's distanced himself from it enough. And I think that's where marrying Hailey has come into play, because our eyes have been diverted from that whole scandal. And
no,
we're just
you're
looking
right.
At her.
You're right. He was one of the, why has no one ever drawn the comparison from Hillsong to Kabbalah? Hillsong was the Kabbalah of the 2020s.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Remember when Kabbalah was like really a thing and like everyone was wearing the red wristlets and it became a huge thing. That was Hillsong.
I also think that I'm glad you brought this up, because it is very intriguing, because there are other celebrities who, if they were involved with something like this, it would be the first thing you talked about. I think it was so obvious that he was a pawn for this organization that you think to yourself, like, this guy is not, he's not into Jesus this way, but he's being told like he should be. And this was during the fetal position time as well, where he needed Jesus. Guidance, and it was so obvious that he was being preyed upon. And then once you found out, you know, oh my goodness, the head of a religion, there's a sex scandal there. My pearls, you know, like, of course you just roll your eyes. You're like, whatever. No one thought Justin Bieber was going to hang on a cross for that, pun intended, but he really did get away with it. If it was anyone else, they probably wouldn't have. If it was Candace Cameron Bure, CCB to you and me, we would have thrown her into the fire clit. Like, it would have been over. Done.
Yeah.
Fire clit.
She would have been over.
And all this to say, the reason that he has been like on every time, I'm like, who should we fix? Like, someone submits Justin Bieber. It started when him and his wife showed up at an appearance in New York. And when I say appearance, I mean like a staged paparazzi appearance for them to go like get a donut together at a weird place in the East Village, where she looks like an absolute fucking supermodel in this little teeny weeny red mini dress that looks so fucking good. It's out of this world. And then he's wearing a gray sweatsuit with sweat shorts, a zip up hoodie with like, it's like Crocs. The hood is up and the like drawstring is pulled, and he's wearing a pink hat on top of the hood.
What a fabulous
He looks
photo.
Like an absolute, like someone that escaped from an asylum. And she looks like Linda Evangelista going down a runway. Like for
real. Yeah, it's a weird
like,
polarity.
It's, the dichotomy is jarring.
Yeah.
And then people were like, is he okay? Because it's so blatantly, obviously staged, like the whole thing. So it's like, you decided that you wanted people to see you looking like this.
Also, it asks so many questions, right? Like, did she get ready first and was like, well, I'm wearing this. And he was
he's like, well, I don't want to get dressed up.
Well, I thought we were going to a donut place. And she's like, well, it's New York. Like, there's so many questions. He couldn't have put on a pair of pants. I don't know.
100%. That's 100% what happened.
He's like, fuck it, I don't care. I'm going to get these donuts and c'est la vie.
So what are we trying to do with him? I mean, we're just trying not make respectable, but it's sort of like he needs a rejuvenation almost. Mm. It's almost like, even though he's one of these people who it's like, well, why are you fixing me? Still sells millions of albums. It's because there's just something off about his image. We're not trying to mainstream him. There's just something like off about him. There's something.
But I'm sorry to say, he's not Taylor Swift. Like, he's not selling out arenas.
Not even the same realm.
Like, do you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's like his career is not like, he has a song every year, but that's not a song. A single every year is not Beyonce. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's
not, to be clear, like,
he's not the celebrity musical powerhouse that we all assumed he would ascend to be as he was like a 16-year-old with this humongous song.
Right. And I think that maybe that's why we're here, because that was supposed to happen, but didn't, because he's not in that realm. Like, there's a Taylor, Beyonce, Cher realm, and then there's everyone else who we talk about on this podcast. And he should have been, he should have been the fourth female name in that group I just mentioned. but he was not.
Lorraine.
Just, I'd love just to get tickets to that Lorraine. Show. But also, I think when we're thinking about like Justin Timberlake, like he has continued as an adult to really solidify himself in music.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Justin doesn't feel, you're right. Like, and I think that's why I brought up that show, the other two, is because the whole premise of that is like he did a song, but they're really trying to promote him to do 10 billion other things.
Yeah.
And that feels very Justin Bieber to me. Like, he's acting, he's doing this, he's got a girlfriend, he's at a basketball game. There's a lot going on around the music for him.
Yeah, I agree with you,
which isn't bad, and we obviously, as we were saying, he's part of the zeitgeist. He's in culture.
He's a celebrity forever.
Absolutely.
He has no choice. Yeah.
Yeah, he has no choice now that he married this woman, you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't even know what my fix is. I have to think now.
Well, you have about 30 seconds.
I have about 30 seconds.
I've got an idea for you, Chris, as we're gabbing.
You can text each other.
Okay, are we ready to pitch?
I think so.
Let's do it.
I think that...
Excuse me?
Oh.
Are you changing your whole format? Like, what are you doing?
I haven't done this in so long. I forget.
This
okay,
is
hold
outrageous.
On.
Outrageous.
Okay. Justin Bieber... Is that what you wanted, Dominic?
Yes, yes.
Justin Drew Lorraine.
Justin Drew Lorraine. No, that's usually what Dominic then goes. Justin Drew Lorraine Bieber. Yes.
And I will in 30 seconds.
I think that your power came from your marriage. As much as I think Hailey Bieber's annoying, I think that she's the best thing that ever happened to you. So I want an album of love ballads written about your wife. And then on top of that, I want, it's not Netflix and it's not Hulu. I don't know what medium this is in, but it might be TikTok, but like long form. Like, I want you to do the Beckhams like on TikTok where we're in your house with you. I want a long form of like, here's our bed. Here's our house. Here's Justin putting on his Crocs to go get a donut with me. Here's blah, blah, blah. Here's us going out to dinner. Like, I want them, because I'm not going to lie. He is really cute. Like outside of all of the weirdness and the tattoos and the, like, he is attractive when he, like, wants to look like a human being. And she is just so fucking beautiful. It's, like, out of this world.
Right.
So, like, they are an it couple. They really could be like really an it couple and not a supermodel with her lackey behind her if he wanted to do that. And I think that they could parlay themselves into like something much bigger if they did that. Because I don't think he really wants to do music. It's not there. And I think he wants to be a celebrity, and I think he's good at being a celebrity. And that's my pitch.
Justin Drew Lorraine Bieber. Justin, the problem for me fixing you, Justin, is I don't know what you want. You've not made it clear. I feel like...
Correct.
you were sort of a musical superstar as a child, and as does happen to musical children, that musical part just sort of like takes a back seat or fades away. Yeah. But you're not like a, who am I thinking of? Who is that queen who used to be on the Today Show at Christmas? Billy Gilman. Remember this one? Would sing the holiday songs, and then he came out when he was 18 and blah, blah, blah. It's not, he's not like that. Like, Justin could, if he applied himself, still have a successful career. I feel like he doesn't want to. So what I want Justin to do is start the process of him very publicly finding out what it is he wants to do. And I know Chris and I have been talking about this phrase for the past couple of days, but maybe the universe was having
an evening with.
An evening with. I need an evening with Justin Bieber, which is where he goes to small venues he's singing acoustic versions of his best songs, and he's telling stories. Because here's the thing. Justin Bieber, not known as being like a great storyteller or orator or whatever, but hook him up with someone to focus him. Hook him up with like a Ben Rimmelauer or a Dominic Pupa or an established cabaretist.
Lord in heaven. Keep going.
Go out and have and let's have the life story. Like, what are these interesting life stories? Because he, based in all of this douchebaggery, is a very compelling
100%
coming of age story. Like, you'd be hard pressed to think of someone who had a more interesting fucking childhood than this guy who sort of invented what was possible on YouTube unwittingly. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, to invent, you know, he turned YouTube into like the modern version of Schwab's drugstore. Like, you're getting discovered here, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm almost seeing like, he never comes across like he gives a shit about much. And I think he can put that tone into an evening with Justin Bieber, where it's, he's just like, I'm going around the country, meeting all these people in small groups. I'm telling stories. I'm singing songs. If by the end of this tour, he hasn't written, it hasn't inspired him to write music, he should just close the tour by saying, I'm officially retiring from music and I'm going to be Hailey Bieber's husband. That's going to be my job. And that's it. But I think he needs to find out for his 30th birthday, he needs to give himself the gift of himself and do an evening with. And now, John, that is my pitch.
Selfishly, can I ask, is this going to be on Netflix? Like, can I see it as a small town gal?
I think eventually it will. I love that you asked that, because I should have, as a television producer, had cameras there right away.
Thank you.
But I think it needs to be at the end of the year. I want to follow the journey before we know what the end of it's going to be. Yeah.
Okay.
So you will get to see it. And every week for a few months, you're going to hear stories about like Justin Bieber canceled at the Carlisle because he was feeling under the weather, or Justin Bieber was arrested for parking in a handicapped spot in Fresno, and so his performance was canceled. Or
shocking revelations from Justin's night with
Selena Gomez fans trash Ramada Inn where Hailey Bieber is getting her nails done in Des Moines. Like, all of these very compelling stories that will pop up. And that is my pitch.
Guys,
It's hard when we're both this brilliant. I know. We just don't make it easy. We don't make it easy.
Can I throw what popped into my brain into the mix?
100%.
I was thinking that Hailey should get pregnant.
Okay.
And then they could do a whole series about like him becoming a father, kind of piggybacking on like the YouTube experience. And then he could write an album about I think Parenthood is like.
Yeah, but didn't they have a baby?
No.
No, not yet.
Wait, they don't have a kid?
No.
Definitely. Are you sure?
Swear to God. I swear. Yeah.
It would give the song Baby a whole new meaning. When he comes out, he'd be holding his own.
They could Paris Hilton it and just say, like, here's the baby, you know? That'd be big, big news.
It's their friend's baby that this is. They're always in pictures with. Oh, they don't have any kids.
No.
No.
Oh, okay. Aaron, that's good.
Kids will really reinvigorate your identity, let me tell you.
I don't want to see him being a father. I don't know why. He's already feels irresponsible to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know if it's the right celebrity.
It's a good pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Dominic, we have to decide. Does Erin win over both of us, or do we have to shut her out and make her pick?
No, we're shutting her out. It's official. Okay. Erin, I'm sorry. Okay. You have to pick.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
It is a good, no, but it's a good idea.
It is good, but it has to like...
blow us off our seats.
Yeah, and that has happened before, and we're not going to name names.
Tiana just won. Remember
when
Lovato being a NASA partner?
We were stunned into silence.
She just straight up took it. Yeah, we were
stunned into silence.
Yeah, we have to erupt into like absolute, yeah, we have to be, it has to be mayhem here.
Chris, I love the idea of the love songs. I really do with Haley because I think that is his strong suit. But I feel like I'm going to have to pick Dom because...
oh,
no, I knew he was winning.
I kind of want a memoir from him, and I feel like this is very memoir-esque get the story out there. And I think we need the story of his life, and I think that feels right now.
Why didn't I think memoir? That would have been a great pitch.
That would have been a good one. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I'm an idiot. That's You're what's slipping. Wrong with me. I know. I felt very rusty, if you couldn't tell, when I was pitching, because I was like, oh, what am I saying? I didn't even start it right.
I'm telling you, the evening with the universe has been putting an evening with in my head for several days. We were on another podcast yesterday where an evening with came up, and it's just been there. And I believe that the Lord put it in my head to properly repair Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm. The Lord,
excellent.
Cher.
As she does, you know?
Yeah. Erin, oh my God. Thank you for coming back.
What
thank
do we
for
even
being our
say
first
to you?
Guest. Where can people find you?
You know, I'm living on Instagram, so hang out with me over there.
That's her home address, baby.
Instagram.com/Erin Bagwell, right?
You got it. Yep.
Dominic, where can people find you?
You can find me at domentary.com. That's my webtual site. You can also find me at Dominic Puba on the socials or at Fixing Famous People anywhere. Chris, question. You? Where can we find you? That was actually two questions.
You can find me at The Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. We've got so much coming down the pike. You don't even know. There might be a live Zoom coming towards a higher tier.
There
might be in-person meetup situations happening.
You guys, we may be announcing an in-person event next week or the week after.
Unprecedented. In-person event.
This is very just exciting.
So. That means it's something that may take place in March, and I will have to get a February neck lift if this is going
to happen. Dom, I wanted to ask you about your lotion. You said you were going to give us an update.
I haven't tried it yet. I have not tried it, but it's right here at my desk. It's called Beverly Hills MD. It's a neck cream, and Michelle, a fixie from the Los Angeles area, gave it to me at my holiday show, and I'm going to make a big deal out of it. I'm going to do befores and afters.
Okay.
And then I'm going to FaceTime Michelle from the burn unit where this cream puts me probably. And I'm going to make her pay for my stay there.
It's probably just a moisturizer. No, you think it's going to burn?
No, he thinks it's going to like burn his skin right off his body.
Well, I can tell you there will be a photo series where I put makeup on to make it appear as though it's burning just to scare Michelle, who I only spent 2 minutes with, but I fell madly in love with immediately. Aww. And I know she would take the humor.
God. Well, Dominic, I wish your neck well. I wish you both
thank
well.
Thank you. All of them? Or just the top one that I'm going to medicate?
All three.
Thanks, guys. It was a pleasure.
Erin Bagwell, we love you. Thank you for choosing me as your first winner of 2024.
I know. Fuck,
I will
I'm already
remind
behind.
Chris by text every 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
Dilly wins.
I'm so sorry.
No.
All right, guys. You know what's next. Where's Shelley? Goodbye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.